Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Welcome to Monday, May 8th, 2017. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as a listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Join us and listen and learn. I'm looking forward to it. By the way, you can download it on your iPhone, your Android devices, and your mobile device. You can listen to it on your computer. So a lot of people listen to this live while sitting at their desk. But we've got people dialing in. I'm looking at some of the area codes where people are dialing in from all over. You know, whenever one time you dial in early and I have the time, I like turning on the microphone to talk. So we've got Chris from Old Second in Aurora, Illinois, joining us. And area code 630. It's fun to have to recognize our listeners from around the world, mostly here in the U.S. But it's really good to have you tuned in and being here with us. On the hot topic today, we've got Jason Maviato, and I'm going to say that right, and Edie Maviato, his mom, on the phone. I'm excited about this interview. It's a mom and son team, and we're doing this in ahead of Mother's Day. And with Mother's Day coming up this Sunday, we're excited to have those two on. Now, if you don't know Jason, Jason is the present CEO of Altier Home Loans in Las Vegas. He does a spectacular job. I think it's the largest company serving the Hispanic population. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about mom and how special she was at guiding this talented young man through some times where, well, you know what moms do. They guide us through those other times where we're challenged at times with judgment. Anyway, really excited to have Jason and Edie Maviato on, and it'll be a great interview. So that's on the Hot Topic statement. Stay all the way through to the Hot Topic segment. You'll enjoy it. Okay, let's talk about our sponsors. I love these sponsors. ArchMI, the creator of the new innovative RateStar program. Also, Motivity Solutions, bringing you real-time reporting and dashboard scorecards. Very powerful tool. I know Altair uses them. Altair Home Loans uses them, so you should too. Anyway, also Velma, an efficient mortgage marketing and email platform to get your word out in an effective way. Simplifile, a real-time electronic communication exchange that you have got to just go learn about. Go back, listen to the interview with Nancy Alley last week that we had on. It was a very good interview. Some interesting stuff going on in electronics, in computers, and what you need to do to be able to be successful. Technology is just such a core part of what we do, and Simplifile has got some great products. Also, the Mortgage Collaborative, the power of the network. Both Jason and I are part of that, as well as D&H, moving your world forward through technology. And we're talking about some of the things going on there at D&H. They're working aggressively at bringing the two companies together. As you may recall, Vista bought them and MySys. MySys is a counterpart to them in Europe. And D&H has got strong market share here in this country, in the U.S., and although they do have clients in over 70 countries. So it's a real big, powerful technology company, two companies coming together, and we're excited about their future. So, and they're doing extremely well. They blew out their sales goals last year, all of the above, and they're doing extremely well. So I encourage you to check it out at dh.com. or call them at 1-800-815-5592. If you're looking for a good company with a good, solid foundation and a very solid financial base, check them out, dnh.com. All right, let's go on and talk about some of the upcoming conferences. Well, I want to say thank you to Alice, to Joe, and Sam for joining us today on this special Mother's Day podcast, as well as I want to say that talk about the conferences, the MBA conferences. Last week, as you know, as you regular listeners know, I was at the National MBA Secondary in New York. It was probably one of the better secondary conferences I attended. And you say, well, what makes for a great secondary conference? Well, part of it's the connections that you make at these events. but also the sessions and get an insight into what's going on. Very interesting what's happening in the marketplace as it relates to the secondary markets. The discussion around Fannie and Freddie was particularly interesting, especially as you look at some recent comments made by Mnuchin, Secretary Mnuchin, about his plans or the administration's plans for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So I got to go on Fox Business. I was interviewed and asked for my comments about that. If you want to go to my Facebook page, I have it posted up there. It's on Twitter. You go to my Twitter account, it's posted up there. You can listen to that interview. Anyway, I was had the privilege of being on Fox Business talking about this. The stance is with the MBA, stance with myself, and many of the leaders in the industry are saying this. We need to bring them out of government control and bring them to a place of back to what they were, quasi-government controlled. And so the real discussion is, where are they going? There was some really good discussion around that. Should they be completely privatized, spun off, done away with? No one is suggesting blowing them up and not having Fannie and Freddie. That's suicidal. They're key to our housing finance system. But what's the plans are that are out there that are really kind of interesting, that are developing. I really get behind the MBA's program. It's well thought out, and encourage you to go to the MBA website. If you don't have that plan, get a hold of me, and I'll forward you the plan that the MBA has released. So anyway, that's what some of the stuff was talked about at the conference. What we have coming up this week, I am speaking. I'm speaking four times. I'm at the Great Rivers Four State MBA Conference in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm the keynote speaker on the opening day. And then I said, hey, if you want to use me and speak at a couple other sessions, I'm happy to do so. So they scheduled me for three more sessions. So I'm speaking four times there. And I am really looking forward to it. The topics are good. I'm talking about sales. I'm talking about podcasting. I'm talking about what's going on with the PHH case with Dodd-Frank, CFPB. Been doing a lot of research on that, and very interesting to see where some of this is headed. So if you're in the Memphis area or planning to attend the Great River Conference, be sure to jump into my sessions that I'll be speaking at, and I'll look forward to seeing you there. That's May 9th, starting tomorrow night. I think it's tomorrow night, and then it goes Wednesday and Thursday. The Ohio Mortgage Banking State MBA Conference is coming up. It's the May 19th in Columbus, Ohio, as well as Motivity's User Conference in Beaver Creek. I'll be at that as well, May 19th. Anyway, check out all the upcoming conferences at MBA's website or at Sam Garcia's Mortgage Daily. He's got a complete list. It's really good, very comprehensive. So anyway, good to have you all with us. And without further ado, we need to find out what's going on in the market. So let's turn on Joe Farr's mic. Joe, good to have you with us.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Look forward to all that we got.
Yeah, it's been a fairly quiet morning. MBS prices are down a little bit. We're down 4/32. We started the morning, you know, early on we hit down 2 and we got to as low as down 6. So we're kind of right in the middle of the range so far today. And, yeah, the big news was the French election, right? It was the Macron won, and so we're not seeing a lot of reaction to it. Certainly not the kind of reaction we would have seen if Le Pen had won. So I guess for the mortgage market, if Le Pen had won, it probably would have been good. So, yeah. But as it is, we have expectations for, you know, the less uncertainty and a little better feeling toward the elections that will likely come up regarding Germany and Italy and the overall strength and stability of the European Union. So all good things, except if Le Pen had won, rates would have been a little bit lower.
Yes, it would have driven things lower. But he didn't, so, and you can see it all live on your website. I'm looking at it right now. But we've also got some interesting stuff coming up this week. Let's go through that.
Yeah,
that's
so,
last week. Let's do last week. We need to talk. Let's
do
last week. Let's stay with our normal order. Yeah, sorry about that. Last week first.
All right. Yeah, last week we had a couple pretty major events. For the week, mortgage rates rose about 5 basis points. You know, some of that was as Macron continued to improve in the polls and it looked more and more likely that he would win the election. Some of that uncertainty that had come about because of what Le Pen's policies might have done to the European Union, that uncertainty was reversed and people shifted out of the safe assets and back into the equities, a little more risky assets, and that was not good for mortgage rates. Also last week, the Fed meeting occurred on Wednesday, and it was surprising a little bit that the Fed showed so little regard for the recent weakness in economic data and inflation falling. They described them as transitory, in essence, justifying no change to economic policy. And you know, the inflation is a big element of that. It fell from 1.8% in February. This is core PCE, 1.8% in February, down to 1.6% in March. And in spite of that, and in spite of the weakness, they gave no change in their guidance on future rate policy. And, you know, as I predicted, they would make a change in policy on balance sheet, and they did not. So I'm 0-1 on your show.
It's few moments where you ever get out there and make any kind of prediction. You rarely predict. So anyway, we only get any more predictions out of you. I understand, though. It's who knows. But that was it. I was with you, though.
Yeah. So the other economic data that came out, the jobs report came out, always a big event, but it was very much like what investors expected, 211,000 jobs created, 190,000 expected. Average earnings were right on expectation. The only little bit of a surprise came in the unemployment rate, where it fell to 4.4%. That's the lowest unemployment rate since 2007. So, it's a movement in the right direction. The other data last week was mixed. ISM manufacturing fell short. ISM services beat expectations. So it's, you know, those were the two major things, and they were kind of a wash as it related to mortgage rates. And then looking at this week, Dave, big data comes out on Friday, retail sales and CPI both on Friday. Until then, we have, before then, we have ADP tomorrow. We have PPI on Thursday. Treasury auctions Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then Fed speakers every day this week. So, things can happen.
Yeah, things can happen, and Fed speak is probably the most important part of this. What are you anticipating, or based on the latest things they've been saying, are we going to have any surprises from the Fed speakers?
No, and the ones who could create the most surprise, Yellen and Fisher, I didn't see on the calendar. They may be, but there are a couple Fed speakers every day this week, and but the two big ones had speeches last week, and what they said then wasn't out of sync with what people were thinking, and so it did not have a big effect on mortgage rates.
All right. Let's see here. I had another question. I thought I had something. I'm looking up at your website and some of the other data here. I guess not. You actually covered it pretty well. So looking at your website again, and I just, for our listeners that are not availing themselves of this kind of technology, I challenge you to do so, and I encourage you to do so. Because don't you give a free offer too? You'll let them try it for a period of time, John?
Yeah, a couple of weeks free. Go to mbsquoteline.com, click on try it free, and we ask you to provide enough information so that we can produce a weekly market summary for you, as well as provide you access to live MBS prices on your desktop and your cell phone. And we'll even make a weekly marketing piece for you. It's personalized with a photograph and a logo and contact information. That's a discussion about what happened to mortgage rates during the week. Send it to realtors, builders.
Nice,
they enjoy receiving it. Yeah.
That is good stuff. I love it when you produce that. I like the format of it. It's very professional and very effective for loan originators wanting to send something out with branded around them. Okay, so it's Mother's Day, and we got to hear a Mother's Day. See, I've asked each of you guys to kind of share a mother's story. So tell us a little bit about your mom, and let's honor her as well, as we're going to be talking to Edie later on with Jason's mom.
Yeah, big picture is my mom grew up with nothing. She grew up on a small farm in Oklahoma, outdoor, no indoor plumbing. She and my dad raised my brothers and I, sent us all through college. She worked before she raised us, before she had us. Went back to work after we moved on, moved out of the house. She took care of her mom during her last several years of life, took care of my dad during his last few years of life. And that experience kind of led her to resolve that she was not going to put her sons through the difficulties that go along with taking care of parents or spouse. And she's 92 now. She was 88 when she needed to move out of the house. And in looking at her finances, what she had accumulated, living, working the way she did, living frugally the way she did, moving into a very nice place, we were surprised to find that she was not going to be a burden to any of us until she turned 108. So she
wow.
had really done, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Good. You know, that's amazing to me when you hear how that generation, my mom was 92, and for those that haven't heard the news, my mom passed away this last week while I was at the secondary conference. She was 92 and was a wonderful lady and loved her dearly, but she was ready to go. Man, she just decided it's over, I'm done. And she stopped eating, stopped taking medication, and she fell asleep, and that's what a way to go. So, but your mom's still going strong.
She's still doing fine, yes.
I love it. I love those stories. I love those. And financially pulled it together and did it such a way with, you know, starting with nothing and was able to, she's going to support herself to 108. I love it. That's good,
yeah.
Joe. Very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Well, I love those stories. We're going to hear more stories as we go through the rest of the segments. We're going to be right back after this brief word. First from MBS Quote Line, and then also we're going to get an update from Les Parker on some of the broader issues in the market. So be right back after this word.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to mbsquoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. mbsquoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. And we are now, as you know, starting a new segment where we have Les Parker of Loan Logics coming on and giving us an update. Now, we like to include music, but we're working through some issues related to royalty. We don't want to violate any royalty laws, so we're going to have to play some of his commentary without some of the background music. And so, Les Parker, give us an update on how you see the world as it relates to what could be impacting interest rates.
Thanks, Dave. This is Market Logics Live, sponsored by Loan Logics. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You got to have something if you want to trade the screen. Last week, there was nothing from the Fed, which is now staying the course in the midst of recent net weaker economic data, and that is good. Let's address a misconception about oil prices. Some countries have benefited from oil's low price environment because they are net importers of oil. Most countries do not get big benefits or have large costs because the risk and reward is balanced. For most companies and countries around the globe, oil is not as critical in manufacturing and transportation as it once was. Oil is more a harbinger of economic activity than inflation. These views are my own. Go to loanlogics.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Yeah, good stuff, too. Great newsletter. Encourage you to check it out. So, anyway, let's get over to Alice Alvey. Alice, happy Mother's Day. You're a mom, and I love your mom story. So instead of doing it at the end, let's start off with a good mom story. Yours, you told me in advance, and I want to have you share that with our listeners. She's got quite a beginning and where she came from and what she accomplished. So tell us about your mom.
Yes. Well, I am very, very blessed to have a wonderful, wonderful mother who is still with us. She is 82, but she was born in Chile. She is English, and she was born there while World War II was going on, and England, of course, was getting bombed quite heavily. So when she was 10, the war was over, and she was able to move back to England and then came over to the U.S. when she was 19, took the boat over, the ship over from England to the U.S., came through Ellis Island. Her signature is there.
Wow.
You know, we were able to see that with my grandmother and my uncle and she who came over. And her first place to stay was in Chicago with my aunt. She met my dad, and then I came around. And you know,
then you came around.
Yeah.
I love it.
Kids and all that wonderful life, and she's just been wonderful. But where today she is full-time busy. She works with the local village, Village Players is what it's called. It's a play group. She makes their costumes. She volunteers at the local hospital a couple days a week, visiting patients and doing administrative work. She is an Apple and an IBM user and is a whiz on a smartphone.
Are you serious? Are you kidding? 82.
Yeah.
Going to, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, she is a GM retiree, so, you know, I'm still a believer in that plan, that it helps people live a long and help healthy life, you know, for some financial security there. And she is the ultimate example of how forgiveness is the core of a happy life. And she is just always positive, wonderful person. So that's my quick mom story. I could keep talking forever on how wonderful she
is.
Well,
and I think she is. Isn't she a concert pianist too? Top?
She is a fabulous Beethoven, Mozart pianist. Absolutely. We grew up with that. We can all hum Mozart and Beethoven.
My gosh, that's amazing. Well, someone said that if you played Mozart to your kids, you're going to have smarter kids. So that explains part of why you're so smart. We used to play Mozart to our kids. They're definitely smarter than their dad. So anyway, so it's good to have that. Let's get an update on what's going on legislatively. But thanks for telling us about your mom.
Thank you.
As they say in England, your mum.
My mum, yeah.
Mum, me mum.
Yes. So I think a couple of big news points I want to make sure everyone's aware of. So the CFPB provisory highlights for spring of 2017, it's a regular publication, and they throwed out some things related to QM qualifications. Most of the document is servicing related, but there was some in there on the origination side. And so it really kind of hints to where some players are going in the industry, and they're trying to put up some boundaries. So we don't step back into stated income loans or stated assets. So they're stressing that lenders do need to consider borrowers' assets. You know, that's absolutely a key component, because very often it's the DTI that's getting them in trouble as to getting the borrower in trouble as to why they may not qualify for a Fannie Freddie loan. But if they're using all their money, say they've got $100,000 in the bank and they're going to put all that as a down payment, you can't use that also as a compensating factor for assets for qualifying. Now, it seems pretty basic, but apparently some lenders are looking, trying to use that as, well, they were able to save or have this kind of money. Well, they're not going to have it left over after you close. So that's not a compensating factor just as a typical underwriting. Lenders have also started to try and use, you know, internet sources. You know, you look up on monster.com or whichever payer, you know, job search site, and they'll tell you, well, if you're an administrative assistant for this type of work, or you do this, here's about a pay range. That doesn't count as validation of income. That was okay for some companies in the stated income days, but that doesn't work today. When you're working with QM, you need true verification of income. So, and then the last thing was still about using this residual income factor. That still works. You can go through this calculation to say, well, here's the income my borrower needs, and here are the assets that they have. But they have to be verified assets left after closing. So it was interesting how in the QM, non-QM world, there seems to be some gray areas that lenders are trying to step into, and CFPB is putting up the roadblocks, which all of us who were through the no income, no asset verification days can go, okay, I get it. I understand why. So that's one key thing in those spring highlights to make sure that you're paying attention to. On May 1st, the Supreme Court ruled that cities can sue banks for discriminatory mortgage lending practices. We caution on the burden of proof, but this was a case for the city of Miami that claimed that several banks intentionally targeted predatory practices at African American and Latinos. So I think this is something that if the Supreme Court says there could be harm to the community, as a lender, you now have another layer of area that you have to be cautious of as you think about your impact to the community and fair lending. Not that it could go way beyond what your auditor thinks. It could go into what the city that you operate in thinks. So that's a heads up there. Another thing is we do have H.R. 10. It's the Financial Choice Act of 2017. We are calling it the Revised Financial Choice Act because we've used the term financial choice now for a couple of years, and there have been these attempts to get rid of Dodd-Frank. So this bill is essentially, at its core, aims to replace Dodd-Frank, but it goes about it, you know, obviously with various titles. It's very long. What happened was on May 4th, it did pass committee, so it's moved past that early stage. Now is when we'll really potentially start looking at what are the detailed components and having a show on it, as we'll focus on the details as it starts to get closer to actually being something that might have a vote. Right now in it is repeal the Volcker Rule, rearrange the CFPB, get rid of its current structure, FOMC reform, SEC reform, full changes to Basel III. I mean, just there's so much on the table for this bill that once it gets a little further and we're sure of what some of the final wording might look like, then we'll talk more to get folks geared up to start paying attention to it and take our positions, right? then we have a whole list of other bills that we're watching for you, but nothing has moved. But don't forget that we do have ECOA amendments to monitor those comments. Those comments are passed. That was due May 4th. But May 19th, we have comments due to the CFPB. They're seeking information on the use of alternative data and modeling techniques in the credit process. Checking my notes, I think we've picked up. Oh, wait, one more thing, H.R. 2133. This is a mortgage lending bill that was just introduced. I think the key to this is, this is the one that would repeal Basel III. It has a CLEAR Act. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I included that in my report on on H.R. 10. That's actually in H.R. 2133. And this has actually also got a component in it to amend the Fair Housing Act and require that intent to discriminate, not merely the existence of discrimination, must be proven. I think lenders would really like to get some wording along this line. There are times where you can have some incidents happen in your shop that truly are isolated, but because of the wording in the Fair Housing Act today, that can stretch into something bigger than really was ever intended. So I think lenders should really take a look at this bill and see if it can't help in fair lending analysis. And then of course, also within this bill is trying to get that QM status it works for loans held in portfolio. This is a big thing. The community banks and portfolio lenders want. They want to be able to say, my portfolio is my business. And if it's performing well, then I'm being analyzed well enough against that not to have this extra layer of being considered non-QM loans as well. Not sure how far that will go. It was only just introduced in committee, so we will keep watching it. So a couple of big banking and mortgage lending bills, and we'll keep you all posted.
So give us your thoughts about Dodd-Frank and CFPB. I mean, from your perspective, how should people be preparing in the event that we do see Dodd-Frank amended, changed, there's all the different adjectives you could just say that are adverbs you could say that are adjectives or adverb. Anyway, the changes that are anticipated to be coming from Dodd-Frank, what would your advice be to them as they look at this? Just, several people ask me, what's Alice think about this? I'm always like that. Get your thoughts. How are you advising your clients?
That's a great question. So there's two different groups, right? There's those who will be impacted by changes related to the Volcker Rule. You know, the banks and the big banks have a much different position on this. They certainly would love more freedom to be able to, especially the large banks, to have their investment portfolios stretched back out again to the way that they used to be. So I'm going to reserve my comments on that because in
right.
some cases that the Volcker Rule has, you know, helped stem some of the problems of the past, but that's a different layer of expertise. My focus, I think, is in Section 7 of this bill is really where they talk about repealing the CFPB or restructuring
right.
the CFPB. That's the area I think lenders want to pay attention to. We are just getting to know where this regulator is at and what they're doing. Certainly lenders have some very challenging stories where they want more structure. So I am a believer in trying to get some more accountability to the CFPB, trying to lighten up some of the regulations. But I would say to try and change anything on the LE and CD, for example, or make any changes in the forms, we've already got this down. That could cause more upheaval than it's worth. I'm really a fan of, can we just go originate now?
That's good. That's
and
good.
And focus on new and innovative technology instead of trying to cope with any changes in the regulation that cause massive software changes. So as a side note, we are trying to watch for some changes in HMDA. The ABA, I should mention, did send a letter into to the CFPB to try and get the HMDA rule repealed. It is that one last component. It's a big software change, and they do have some very legitimate concerns about CFPB's ability to keep that information secure. You know, so changing the structure of the CFPB and getting more accountability behind it, I am in favor of that, and we'll have to see what happens in the final wording of that. So we'll dissect that some more on a future show, and I'll give you some more of my opinions as we get some wording more firm. Did I get that right?
Let's get more facts. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday. Yeah, I don't know why I'm struggling with some of the words I'm saying today, but thank you so much. I love your mom report, and that's a really good, really good. No wonder you... You are such a tight family. It's one of the things I always love about when we talk and get together with you and your husband. And it's so evident you come from such a solid family. And I love that. Celebrate that. So moms are so important and the glue to the family. So thank you, Alice.
Thank you.
They are. All right. Folks, we're going to be right back after this brief break.
If you have questions about mortgage regulations, Indicom Mortgage U has free answers. If you need ideas about how to reinvent your organization, Indicom Mortgage U will share great ideas. When you need help at any step of the loan process, give us a call or send an email. The Indicom team of experts have been helping mortgage players from origination through servicing for over 30 years. Your success is our focus. Whether it's a quick question or long-term support, portfolio, conventional, or government lending, it's a competitive market. So let Indicom Mortgage U give you the edge.
Yeah, Scott, they will definitely help you, give you the edge. And then also what will help you is knowing what's going on in your business. And we have John Maynell with us. It's actually pre-recorded, so yeah, but he's the VP of Client Services there at Motivity. So we have a pre-recorded comment from our good buddy John Maynell from Motivity Solutions on the KPI of the week. So, John, take it away.
Hello, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be here as always. And this week we have another key performance indicator related to TRID, and the KPI is underwriting to closing days. And like all TRID metrics, the focus is the estimated closing date and how far in advance a file should be submitted to underwriting to make provisions for any and all underwriting eventualities, possibly multiple resubmissions, and leaving enough time after final approval to finish the loan and deliver the closing disclosure on time. A very common practice for lenders that have automated their analytics with mortgage business intelligence like Movation is to have the system automatically send email alerts to participants on those loans that are running late and at risk of missing these milestone deadlines. Now, this allows loan participants to continually reprioritize their workflow to ensure they remain compliant, clearly demonstrating again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you once again and turn it back to you.
So true. What gets measured gets results. Anyway, good to have you all with us again. We have Sam Garcia dialed in with us. And so, Sam, good to have you here. I didn't get a chance to call you in advance, but we all have a mom. So tell us your favorite mom story.
Oh, you had me thinking about that. But first off, I'm very sorry to hear about your mother. And sounds like she did a good job with you. But
she did all right. She drove on us, that's for sure.
Well, my mom grew up in Southern California, where she met my dad and where they raised us. She was very young when she married, and my dad had and I have an older brother. So what was funny is that my brother, who looked much older than he was, would be mistaken for my mom's boyfriend when they'd go places together. She's pretty young. And of course, we'd go
she's
to the
pretty
beach.
Pretty young. Oh, good.
I spent a lot of time at the beach. My mom was kind enough to drive me and my friends to with our surfboards to go daily surfing, as did their mothers. But people would be whistling at her as they go. She'd be driving us along. So it was an interesting California situation. And, because my parents were so young when they got married, they decided to have another child 20 years after I was born. So I have this younger sister. You know, there's three of us who were raised by these really young parents who did, you know, a great job. And then there's the one who was raised by a much more mature set of parents. And you could just see a difference in her. You know, she's really easygoing and really got her stuff together. It's interesting. But my mom's just 72 right now. So,
she's young. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's young. So. She's not that much older than I am. I'm chasing her pretty quickly. 66, so that's good. Well, I love it. Let's cover through some of the headlines that you have up in your website, some good stuff, and then I'm looking forward to getting over to our interview with Jason and his mom, Edie. So let's talk about some of the headlines, if you could, my friend.
Yeah, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics report that you and Joe discussed, non-bank mortgage jobs expanded in March by 1,700. That increase came despite jobs that are classified as real estate credit taking a decline, and the result is, or the reason was, because mortgage broker jobs saw an increase. So mortgage brokers drove an increase in mortgage employment, and it's kind of interesting because jobs had been down for a couple months in a row. And while that BLS data reflects non-bank mortgage jobs, a Mortgage Daily analysis of those numbers indicates that, including jobs at financial institutions, there are a total of around 740,000 people working in the mortgage business. That includes an estimated 338,000 at banks, more than 68,000 at credit unions, and the 333,000 reported by the BLS. We covered a report from Social Survey that ranked the best originators based on reviews from, they say, more than 50,000 customers. So that story got a lot of traction. And what I found interesting is that among the 10 best originators ranked there, a common theme in their comments was about customer trust. Things like calling back when they promise, managing client expectations, and, you know, no over-promising. But all of them seem to say that they do well because they earn their customers' trust and, you know, do what they say they're going to do. The Mortgage Bankers Association reported that its mortgage credit availability index dipped in April. That's an indication that credit conditions got a little tighter. It was the first time in 7 months that that index was down, and to put things in perspective, the index still stands at its second highest level since roughly mid-2008. So credit conditions, you know, continue really still to be relatively loose compared to any time since then. There were 64,323 consumer bankruptcies in April. That was down 17% from the prior month, but filings in that prior month were the highest they had been in 24 months. So we'll see if that trend continues. A big announcement last week was NationStar. They confirmed rumors that we've heard over the past year that they were going to go ahead and rebrand as Mr. Cooper. So that move is expected to be completed by August. And a statement from the company said Mr. Cooper is, quote, the embodiment of the kind of person who always goes the extra mile for a customer. NationStar said that change followed an overhaul of its corporate culture. Over at PennyMac, first quarter originations at PennyMac tumbled 32%, which is par for the course this quarter. And the drop in production drove earnings down to $62 million from $129 million. We report pre-tax there. Finally, the NCUA recovery reported that it's surpassed $5 billion in recoveries from RMBS loans that it has filed lawsuits on over the past few years. Those, are, if you remember, were the result of a corporate credit union's failing that it invested in those RMBS. One of the settlements last week was for $445 million with UBS, and the other one was $400 million with Credit Suisse. And let's see, the Credit Suisse number pushes the total to $5.1 billion. So that's how much NCUA has recovered on behalf of the corporate credit unions. And those are some of our biggest headlines. I know you want to move on to this interview, so thank you for letting me present these.
Yeah, oh, it's always good to have you on. So good stuff. And folks, if you have not checked out the Mortgage Daily website, do so, mortgagedaily.com. And you can always speak with Sam at 214-521-1300 or email him, samgarcia@mortgagedaily.com. Folks, we're going to be right back after a couple weird words from our sponsor with Jason and his mom, Edie. I'm so looking forward to this interview, so stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break. And we're going to start off with a word from Arch MI and Shawnee Hotadale.
Thanks, David. Glad to be a sponsor. Spring home buying's underway. The supply is tight and interest rates are rising. Are lenders ready to compete for purchase business, or will they get left behind? Arch MI RateStar is the best way to stay aggressive and stay ahead of the herd. Use our risk-based pricing program to assess individual loan risk more precisely. With RateStar, lenders lead their market the way Arch MI leads the MI industry. Lead with us.
Simplifile has technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents via real-time chat and messaging, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, and validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arise. All of this in a real-time electronic communication exchange. And best of all, you have a complete audit trail of all communications. To learn more, go to simplifile.com or call our good friend Nancy Alley at 1-800-460-5657.
Well, it's good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate it. I'm looking forward to this hot topic segment. We've got Jason, and I want to say I'm not doing this quite right, Jason. You're going to help me with this, but it's Macedo. Is that Macedo? How does he say it in Spanish real perfectly?
Madiedo.
Madiedo. Well, I'll get it down. Madiedo. There you are. I had it. See, I always throw a little S in there. But anyway, you've got your mom joining us. Edie is with us on the phone. So I just want to welcome you both to the Lickin' on Lending Show. And Edie, I want to say a special thank you for taking time out of your day out there in California early and joining us. Good to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So happy, and Jason and I had to talk her into being here a little bit. She's a little on the bachelor side, I'm really looking forward to this because when you hear Jason talk about his mom, and this came up at a couple of conferences ago when we were together and sitting around, and one of the questions I like asking business leaders like Jason is, who's been the biggest influence in your life? And he said, my mom. And when I heard that and the way he said mom, there was so much love, respect, and also probably some good history of where he got disciplined and directed as he needed to be. So I'm really looking forward to this interview. I want to start off by telling the mom's story, part of the story. And, Jason, you could start off. If you could tell us where you and your mom are from originally and what you're doing now so our audience becomes familiar with who you both are. And then, Edie, if you want to add to that, it'd be great.
Yeah, great. Thanks, David. So, by the way, my mom made me listen to Mozart, Beethoven, and Baroque when I was a kid. I didn't realize.
Are you serious?
She's helping me get a little smarter. And by the way, I think I have the youngest mom on the panel here. My mom is 70 years young as of December, and so still working. So my mom is a loan officer at Altera Home Loans with us. And,
yeah.
So
by the way, I forgot to mention that you are president of Altera Home Loans. It's based in Las Vegas. You're the largest 100% Hispanic-owned mortgage company in the U.S. and is voted by the Mortgage Tech Magazine as one of the top tech-savvy companies in the country. And you're also the fastest-growing in Hispanic, mortgage company, I believe, in the Hispanic Business Magazine. So I've known you, Jason, and I love your passion and compassion to help this industry. You're a big giver, and I'm wondering if that didn't come from mom.
100%. That came 100% from mom. So my little mom story is, as a kid, I call myself a second generation mortgage professional because my mom started in 1981 in this business. I was 6 years old. And my experience in mortgage at that age was my mom leaving the house, I don't know at what time in the morning. It might have been 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, running to the office,
wow,
picking me up at 7:30, taking me to school. Then my aunt would pick me up. I'd go to my aunt's house, and my mom would pick me up somewhere around 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock at night. This is her in the mortgage business becoming a you know, successful salesperson. We do that 5 days a week, and then on weekends we were at the office because she was still working, and I was the kid running around the mortgage office trying to put loan applications together for people and charging them 10 cents for it.
Oh, wow. You got an early start. That's great. So, Edie, how was it like, you know, Edie, playing Mozart obviously works, so Jason's crazy smart, and he's very successful. So tell us some early stories about Jason. I mean, because I know part of the story, so I'm chuckling. So give us some of those stories that have made me laugh over the 10 years.
Yes, he was 10 years, I mean, very young age when I used to take him on Saturdays to my office to help me. And I was teaching him how to put an application together. This, and then
wow,
show him what is part of the application. And he followed what I say. And then at 12 years old, 11, it was 11 when I took him, I took him to a seminar it was called Quantum Systems. And so to
Quantum Systems?
Grow up to develop it. I mean, it was a great seminar. And then at his age of 14 years old, I took Jason to his first sales seminar with Jim Rohn.
Wow, that's an old name I haven't heard in a long time. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
10 years old, you started, but then to continue the story, because there came a point where you had to kind of be a little tough love with Jason. Tell us about that.
Well, when he became a loan officer, official loan officer when he turned 18, and he worked at the bank when I was working, Great Western Bank.
Okay.
And I was a little tough, mother.
I can take this one, you know. She's being a little shy.
tell us about it.
The two experiences, which you know, mom, I forgot about Quantum, and I forgot about Jim Rohn and the path that you've put me on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't swallow.
The
path you put me on to you know, become great at both sales and the mortgage business. But maybe everybody's hearing that I've been in the mortgage business since, 7 or 8 years old. So I became a loan officer, and I remember my mom going out and saying, you know, I'm here. She's very, very focused on what she was here to do in her profession, and that was to help build wealth through homeownership and focus on Hispanic families in the market that she served. So one of my requirements at work was if I got a refinance lead, I had to give it to another loan officer because that was not building wealth through homeownership.
Wow.
I had to continue work.
Way to go, Edie. I like that.
but a couple years later, I did get lazy. It happens to us in sales. I wasn't coming in. You know, her work ethic is so strong. I wasn't coming in early. I was leaving a little early, you know, not spending the entire 40 to 60 hours that I should be working. And so I remember her calling me into her office at one point and saying, you know, my job here is to grow, and you're not contributing. I happen to be one of the top producers in the office at the time. You're not contributing to the growth, so I think you're fired. And it's time for you to go.
Wow, tough love, Edie.
I said, Mom, I'm one of the top producers in the office. And she says, I don't need your production. I need leadership. I have production. I can go get it. So, you know,
I was very
that's a little tough love.
But you know what? I like that, Edie, because here's the deal. Jason has Rosen to be one of the leaders in the industry. And I'm going to tell some Jason stories on him here myself a little bit, because that, and I applaud that, because I think one thing is to how we define success. And we define success oftentimes within the ranks of the loan originators as if you're producing the greatest number of loans. But the better definition is leadership. Edie, kudos to you. Awesome. Otherwise, you know what? We may not have had ulterior home loans, and we may not have the leadership that Jason is providing. And I want to talk about it. Edie, what was it about? Is that just something that was in you? Is it a – I mean, Hispanic community is such a hardworking community. And is it just you? Is it your Hispanic culture that contributed to that? What – your thoughts?
Well, my children – I immigrated to the U.S. in 1971 from Colombia, and I had my two boys, Jason and Jonathan. And my ambition is to educate my kids and to give a good life. And that my children gave me so much energy and feel so strength to. I have to get a success. I have to give them a good life, and I'm very proud of my kids, and because they really. I'm sorry, I'm very nervous.
No, that's all right. You're doing great.
Yeah, so I will do anything for my kids.
Well, I think a lot of moms do, but I think I think a lot of moms want to do anything, everything they're the kids. But I think what you did was go that extra mile and say, you know, I don't just need production. I need a leader. Jason, talk about, was that a pivoting point for you, Jason?
Yeah, definitely. It really changed my perspective of who I needed to be. Understand expendability. Of someone, and that tough love taught me that I needed to become an absolute student of this industry and get better than just than what I was. But there's a story of what my mom just said about providing a good life for her kids that she probably doesn't remember.
Yeah,
that was another great
sure.
lesson. So I'm 16 years old. And I walk in the house. My mom at that time had become a very successful top producer at a big, large bank. And she was, I think her top year was 477 closings for the year. She was somewhere around 450 to 470 closings per year.
Way to go, Edie.
And
Yeah.
She's a rock star. And so I come into the house. I'm 16 years old, and I'm angry at my mom. I'm angry because she had this Mercedes she had bought 4 or 5 years prior, and it was an E-Class, and all the loan officers in her group were buying brand new cars. And I remember that one of them was an S. I'm not going to forget these cars. It was an S500 and a Jaguar Vanderplas emerald green. And I went to my mom and I said, Mom, why is it that you're the number one loan officer in this company and you have an older car than they do, and they are brand new cars, and they so-and-so just bought this new house. Why isn't that you're doing that? And she, like my mom usually would do, is stare at me for a second. I guess decided what exactly she was going to tell me. And she said, come over here. Sit down. And I sat down at the breakfast table, and she went through some papers that she had, you know, filed away. She brought it out. She brought out her W-2. And she said, you see this W-2? I make more money than all the loan officers in this big company. There was 4,000 loan officers at the time in the company.
Wow.
But my job here is to take care of you boys. And I am in a cyclical and in a seasonal business. This business goes up and it goes down. you see those shoes you have? I think I had Nikes or something at the time. You see those shoes you have on your feet? I'm always going to be able to provide you those shoes. You see this house? It's a nice house. I'm always going to be able to provide you, boys, a nice house and be in this business and generate good income for our family. So don't ever ask me again to buy a new car or get a bigger house.
That was the end of that. Well, you know, Edie, I applaud that because somehow, somewhere along the way, hard work, determination, discipline, and just you got some good financial sense. I want to fast forward. We could stay on some of these stories. There's so many rich ones. And if you guys, our listeners, ever get a chance to have a drink with Jason at any one of these conferences, he will tell you story after story. And I've laughed so hard because he has a way of telling them that just makes you just crack up. But yet they're heartwarming. So they're so good. Jason, let's fast forward to Ulterior Home Loans. You started the company how many years ago?
So 2007, April 9th, 2007, we just hit our 10-year anniversary at Ulterior. So April 7th, 2007.
Okay. All right. And so you are 100% Hispanic owned, and your market is Hispanic community. So let's talk a little bit about that market and what are the unique ways in which you're serving that market and some lessons that we can all learn from that.
So, yeah, it is our market. That's what we serve. That's who we serve, and that's who we strategically focus on. 80% of the loans done at Ulterior are to a minority consumer, most of those Hispanic families. I think the unique ways that we serve that segment is, number one, the desire and passion to serve that segment starts from the top and is spread across our entire company. We also represent the demographic in a larger way than most companies do. And I think that kind of moves from the front-end sales of representation of the market and the desire and passion to want to serve the market to operationally understanding that that we have to serve from a loan structure and closing perspective that most likely will be a first-time home buyer and will be a minority consumer. And that comes with a lot of different credit profiles, different employment structures, and being able to understand and have some – I don't want to call it compassion. I want to say just overall – desire to want to serve that particular mortgage and focusing on that. So, you know, across the entire spectrum, end to end, from the point of sale at origination to if at a closing, a consumer wants to talk to a closer in Spanish or needs to have a conversation or that person needs to jump on the phone, we can serve that all the way across the life cycle of a loan. And so I think those are the two components, right? The front end and being able to manufacture the loan, especially when it looks a little different.
Edie, you're still in the mortgage business, still originating loans. I love it.
I do.
So let's talk about what you're finding to serve the market that you're serving. What are some of the unique ways that you found to work with the Hispanic community that you would say you'd encourage others to consider doing that might be different than other communities? Hard work.
Well,
I hear hard work coming out because you obviously work very hard for your people. But is there – I mean, some people don't enter the Hispanic community, Edie, because they're not Hispanic. And they go, I don't think I can serve that market. But we want that market. We want all markets served. And that's what I'm looking for is what are the few keys that you would suggest someone – to serve the Hispanic market well, what would be the keys that you would suggest? Then, Jason, you could add to that.
You know, you said something. Go ahead, Mom. You go first.
Go ahead, Jake.
Oh, well, you said something right now that, you know, I don't know exactly what you said, David, but it was about being Hispanic or serving the Hispanic and not having that. I think being Hispanic to serve the Hispanic market is far from the reality. I mean, obviously, if you live in the culture and understand the culture in any demographic for that matter,
right,
you're going to have a tighter connection. But it's not a requirement. Ultimately,
that's what I wanted to bring up.
That community.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing I wanted to bring out, Jason, was that very thing. Because I think a lot of people think that because they're not a part of a particular community that they can't serve them or they're handicapped. But it really comes down to the service and hard work and understanding that culture, that and no matter what culture it is. I love that. Yeah.
Right. And I think your company has to want to serve that demographic across the different spectrums of the demographic. So you have first generation, you have bi-generational like myself, and then you have like my kids who are becoming much more assimilated. They're still into their culture, but you know, it's now third generation and in all, I think all races and ethnicities go through that process. And so you have to want to be in the community, serving the community, embedded, if you will, whether your offices are embedded, your people are focused, whether it's community type services, employers, et cetera, being in the community, and that there's no color required in that. You just have to want to do it.
Well, one of the things I want to highlight a story. I can't believe how fast the time goes when we start doing these interviews, and we can go a little bit over it. But here's one of the stories that I want to share with you that I think you do such a fabulous job of. And I think this is exemplary. And Edie, you've raised up a leader. I love the fact you said you're a good producer. You're a top producer. I can get that from others. I need a leader. And so here's what Jason has done. Jason and I are both part of Altera Homes is part of the collaborative, as I'm a part of the Mortgage Collaborative, a sponsor of the radio program, someone we're very close to. But Jason, on his own, put together something called Collabs. In other words, collaborative, the laboratories. And what he did is he invited how many other business owners to your office? I mean, to your facility? Was it three or four other present CEOs,
Yeah, we had four companies here. Became great friends, and we're actually doing two more labs. One this month in New York, and another one in Nashville, and in July. So pretty excited about
so,
the collab labs.
Collab Labs, that's what it is, Collab Labs. So tell us about those, because what that is, I want to do this and see this fostered across the whole industry. And what you saw, you came up with the idea, and you literally cooked meals for them. You did everything. You hosted the whole thing. Talk a little bit about that, because that's the kind of leadership that I want to see fostered within our community, within the mortgage community.
Well, so first, the idea was really fostered through the leadership at TMC, Gary and John and David and Jim and Rich and others as well on the board, Sue and a few others, Jamie. And so I think I just got excited about it and wanted to, push forward. But so we get a lot of data, and we're at Altera and myself, we're data freaks, and we get a lot of data, and we love everything that we participate in Stratmore and a few other data aggregators, and but there was something missing for me, and that was being able to collaborate and being able to just have a conversation with other folks that are experiencing, whether it's market driven or strategically driven, or business model, and be able to just sit down and talk. And maybe that's the Latino side of us, is being able to cook for people and break bread and have those moments where they become much more special. But the Collab Labs take members of TMC that are lender members. We get in a room and we look at everything from cash management to model metrics, success metrics. We also go to a host market and a host company, which I was the first one, and we walk through the entire facility and walk through the model and how things work at that company. And so, it's a bit of getting undressed, and it's uncomfortable at first, but I think what we walk away from is becoming better leaders. And that's just me following what my mom told me to do years ago, is be a better leader.
Be a leader. Yeah, I love that. Well, Edie, you've done a great job raising a leader in this industry. I'm just honored to get to know your son, and I can't wait to meet you. And you're young. I'm 66 years old, so you're just a few years ahead of me. So let me tell you, you've got a lawnmower. So I can't wait to meet you one of these times when I'm out there in Southern California. And you do a great job. I want to say thank you to you both. As we wrap up this interview, Edie, what would you say to young parents out there, what is the most important thing that they keep in mind as they're raising future leaders?
Put their heart into make that children or that boy into a great man. Be ambitious to grow that good citizen. Oh my God. I had no words.
No, that's a good.
I only had to say, David, that I'm very, very proud of my son.
You should
Jason,
be.
I loved you with all my heart. And I want parents to put their heart into their kids and make them a success and great people for this country.
Well, you've done it. You succeeded in that. Jason, that's probably about the best place to end it on, but I'll give you one last word if you can find one.
Well, that's a tough one. Try not to let the waterworks go. No, I think it's we're in a very, very great industry. We have an industry that we can do very well by doing good, and I think my mom's taught me that. And there's great future and for us in this industry, and be able to help and build wealth through homeownership for families all across America, but. For us, our strategy and our focus is to help those that are underserved. And so my mom's taught me that. She's made sure that I am focused on that, and that's what we're committed to. So that's all I'll end it.
Thank you so much, Jason and Edie. It's so good to have you be here with us. Our guests have been Jason and Edie. Madiato from, I almost said that right, Alterra Home Loans, located in Las Vegas. And it's good to have you there. I encourage you to get to know the company. He just hired 50 new employees today, added them to the company. So he's growing. And if you haven't heard of them, you need to pay attention. They're going to be they are already a leader in their markets, and you're going to hear more about them as they continue to grow. Folks, I just thank you all so much for being a part of the podcast, telling others about the podcast. Again, thank you to Edie and Jason for joining us. Also, thank you to Alice and Joe. Always appreciate all of you making such a powerful contribution to this show. Next week's show is we're going to be talking. Jeff Sellers is going to be on here talking about emergency management solutions. What? It's kind of crazy, but, with this world as it is, we need to have some emergency management solutions in place. So we're going to be having our good friend Jeff Sellers on, and he's going to be talking about some of that. Something we should be considering in our workplace, especially as we grow in this ever complicated world. Appreciate you being here with us, everybody. Have a great week, and look forward to having you back here next week.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us again next week, and thank you for listening.